Pathway to Promise podcast, episode number 26, with the author of The Power of Ten, A Guide to Living the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule in Modern Times, Denise Alexander Pyle.
Hello, this is Dr. Roberta Shaler, the Relationship Help Doctor, and I am the author of Kaizen for Couples, Smart Steps to Save, Sustain, and Strengthen Your Relationship. I'm delighted to endorse Dr. Brad Miller as he helps people find their promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose right here on the Pathway to Promise podcast. Stay tuned.
Well, I still believe that it's a universal truth. The more you give, the more you get. It's because it's about energy. And it just, you're putting out, we're all energy, and it's just the way it works. It's an exchange.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller. So glad to have you with me today as we gather around to have some conversation about things that matter. We really believe that God has a promised life for you of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you can overcome any adversity in your life in order to get there if you have the right pathway, the right approach, and some guides and coaches to help you along that way. And I come to you with a lot of experience in Christian ministry and earned a doctoral degree in transformational leadership, and I just have a really heart for life transformation. I also come to you today as one who's had my own set of adversities in my life. I've had to deal with death in my family. I've had to deal with devastating disease in my own body and that of loved ones. I've had to deal with moments of depression in my life. And also I've had to deal with the pain of divorce. I've had that. I bet many of you have been impacted by that as well. Today we're going to be talking about divorce and the impact of it, as we have a family law attorney, Denise Alexander Pyle, who's with us. She's the author of the book, The Power of Ten, A Guide to Living the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule in Modern Times. And she'll be with us to discuss the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule in order to help us work through difficult stages in our life. And the area that she's worked in most often is in the area of family law and divorce. She is a family law attorney in Marion, Indiana, and she comes with a great deal of experience in this area of life. I've had that experience in my life as well. I've been happily married for coming up on 27 years now, but I went through a divorce about 30 years ago, and that impacts things that are my life even today. Where are you at on this topic of divorce? How does it impact your life? Has it happened to you? Has it happened to a friend of yours? Has it happened to a family member? Maybe you're married to a divorced person, or have the impacts or the implications of a blended family. It's all things that go on here. Part of what we're going to be dealing with here today as we work through things here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, I want to share with you something that I found from an author by the name of Susie Brown, who talks about the ways that the stages of going through a divorce. She says that the first stage is being shocked and devastated. You've had this one experience of being married for a while, and then the shock and devastation of the divorce comes. Everything as it was is ended, and you move, got to go through that painful, shocking, devastating portion. The second stage is intense sadness, anger, anxiety, all the things that come with this great upheaval in your life. It's overwhelming. It's exhausting. You don't sleep. Things don't feel right. They don't sound right. You make bad decisions. You have decisions that impact other areas of your life, and you feel exhausted and overwhelmed, and you just have to try to get through that portion of the stage. And the third stage is facing reality, that this is really happening. The reality of divorce is happening. The despair moves into a different stage, and you have to come to grips with it. You have to start to get to work to deal with the reality that this is your new reality. You may hate it, you may not like it, but you got to deal with it. You're going to move through the devastation. You're going to deal with the real life issues of how you're going to handle your finances, how you're going to handle your children, how do you have to handle your emotional relationships, how you handle other family members in your life, how you deal with your job, all kinds of things that you have to deal with in this new reality. The fourth stage that she talks about is adjusting to being signaled. This is your new reality and how you now are going to move forward about dealing with over the shock and the reality that you have to deal with. And now how do you move forward to the new normal? How do you figure out how to talk about this in a way that's real and part of your life, and you move on? What is your stage then? And how do you do life? You can't just push the pause button. You have to do life. So that's that next stage. And she talks about stage five is finding a new optimism. A new optimism in terms of finding some things to be happy about, some things to be joyful about, some things to feel like that you are encouraged by in your new life and lifestyle. Have some new confidences, some new abilities. Find some new things to do, some new pathways in your life to recover from this. This is all about recovering from the divorce. And her stage six is experiencing life-changing transformation. That is where you want a total life transformation to have your new reality in order to understand that life is beautiful. Life is a good thing. And that's where Susie Brown has a program called the Master Plan for Divorce Recovery. And we'll put some links to that there. But today we're talking about a biblical model. Our guest today, Denise Alexander Pyle, offers us to help us move through adversity in life and to find a new reality as well. And focusing on, among other things, how the Ten Commandments, the biblical Ten Commandments, and the biblical Golden Rule can be helpful to us in all these things. And here are the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me. Do not misuse the name of God. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's belongings. There's that, and then the Golden Rule, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Some things to keep in mind as we talk about this, our time together here today. We did want you to know that if you like what you hear here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, you can always connect with us on our website, pathwaypromise.com. There we have a gift for you. It's called the 4-Minute Way to help you frame your day for success. We hope you go over there and pick that up. And if you have a mind to help us out, and help us out by sharing the good news about the Pathway to Promise podcast in your network of friends and family and others who you think this podcast can be helpful to on your social networks of various sorts. And also you can go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast and give us a 5-star rating and a review of a line or two. That would be helpful to us. Our guest today is a super lawyer. Super lawyer. What does that mean? It means that Denise Alexander Pyle has been given that designation by the states of Michigan and Indiana for her work and her excellence in the legal field. And she's been voted that way by her peers. That means she knows what she's talking about, friends. And she's been involved with the field of family law for a long time. She practices law in the Marion, Indiana area, and prior to that was in metropolitan Detroit. And she's got a lot to say. She's been highly well sought after speaker in this field. She's been involved with domestic violence prevention. What I wanted to share with you here today about her, though, is that she had a personal experience where her sister went through a devastating divorce. She knew, even as a young woman, that this was something that she had to do something about. And so she found her track in life. They wanted to be involved with family law to help people, especially women who were impacted by the devastation of divorce. Now she spends a lot of her time writing and thinking and processing about models and ways to help people move through problems and adversities in their life in order to find a better place, to find a better place in order to be in their life. It's a place we like to call the promised life. We're going to learn a lot today from the author of The Power of Ten, Denise Alexander Pyle. Let's get into this interview right now. Welcome, friends, to Pathway to Promise, where we are all about helping folks overcome adversity to achieve their promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. We have with us today our special guest, Denise Alexander Pyle, who is a lawyer But more than that, she's a super lawyer, at least according to the states of Michigan and Indiana, where she was turned a super lawyer. She is a, I'm not sure exactly what that title means. We'll get into that in a second. But she is a super lawyer, and she is in the field of family law, which means she's dealing with folks in crisis, sometimes folks at their worst, dealing with divorces and separations and mediation, probate, wills, and all kinds of things like that have to do with people in crisis. And some of you and our listeners are in some of those moments of crisis. But moreover, she has also found a process, a passion of her own, to help people find harmony in the midst of their crisis. And she's wrote a book to that effect, that a book that is about guidance and direction to make the world and people's lives a better place. It's called The Power of Ten, a guide to living the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule in modern times. Denise, welcome to Pathway to Promise.
And thank you very much for having me.
Well, wonderful. We're glad you're with us. But first, I just got to ask you, Denise, what makes up a super lawyer?
It's being voted by your peers that they recognize you in your field as being one of the top lawyers. And so I've been blessed since they've had super lawyers. I was in Michigan first, now in Indiana. I've always been voted by my peers to be one of them.
That is awesome. And it's always good to be called super and be voted that way by your peers. And they don't have that designation in my field, so I like that. My wife is in the legal field, and I hadn't really heard that that term before. So congratulations on that. And one of the reasons you are do excellent in your field is because you are in the field of family law, dealing with folks in crisis and moments of that nature, and dealing with people at their worst, dealing with people when they have some difficult times. But I get a sense that you may have had your own share of challenges or adversities in your life to face. Tell us a bit about maybe some time in your life when you've had some challenge or some adversity to take on, and maybe how that was had some transferable principles to your work.
Well, actually, when I was in high school, my sister got divorced and moved back into our home with her two children my senior year in high school. And we were not adverse in the legal system. In our family, there were no lawyers, and my sister really got shafted. She got her two children, but nothing else. And I was gifted with intelligence. I knew I wanted to, I was going to college, and from that point forward, I knew I was going to be a family law lawyer to help people like my sister. So, and I've had my own divorces. It took me 3 times to get it right. I've been married 25 years to a wonderful man. So those personal experiences gave me a gift to help other people going through the crisis. And you know, I take the counselor part of attorney and counselor very seriously.
Well, certainly that is a part of the process. I do my share of counseling in my ministry, and know that when people are stressed out, and one of the key stressors is separation and divorce, and that's a part of what family law is all about, of course. You find people just dealing with high levels of confusion and chaos and so on. What are some of the ways that you, out of your own experience or in working with folks, have been able to kind of calm things down and get things going in some semblance of a direction in order to find a direction, a pathway to go to relieve the issues at hand?
Well, I think it's how you communicate. I think you have to listen to clients. Today, attorneys don't even return phone calls. So part of it is listening to give them an opportunity to feel heard. That's so important. And then once they get their story out, to show empathy and then help redirect. I mean, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And help them vision the future that they're striving to be. I often used to say, imagine me, I'm your fairy godmother. What do you want your life to look like when this is all over?
Yeah, and that leads us to a sense of a path that leads us to a place that's a good place, a better place from where we start the process. And you start off in some sort of a crisis or some sort of a situation which is disastrous or cataclysmic even. And there's a process to go through to come out to the other side. And do you find some satisfaction or some peace in your own life when you've been able to be a part of this process for folks, when they've been able to navigate all the craziness that happens in a divorce, for instance, and come out the other side?
That is what I live for. I'm a problem solver. And to me, every time a problem gets solved, I feel good. It feeds my soul. And so that is what drives me. And I think I'm taking that message that I did for individuals and trying to help fix the problems of the world by the book. I mean, I look at the political process and I want to get out there and fix that, because I know the answers are communication, common sense, and finding common ground, and nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of polarization that takes place, of course, and whether that's in divorce situation or politics, as you mentioned, and in finding common ground is where it's at. And if you can help that to accomplish, you are be super in many other ways than being a lawyer, and that would be great. But a part of that process is taking some action. You took some action in writing your book to respond to some of the situations here. What are some bold actions that you've taken or that you maybe advise folks to take in order to overcome adversity?
Well, I think you have to have faith in yourself. I think the first step is to honor yourself as you do, which is part of the first commandment, and really, you know, and look at yourself as being the only one who you need to please, but in a positive way. Look at your strengths and then use that as your stepping stone. From there, you know, you have to encourage yourself. You have to reward yourself, and you have to forgive yourself. I mean, people do not forgive themselves and say, okay, I made a mistake. How do I pick myself up and go forward? It's okay. None of us are perfect. So that's, you know, to me, a building block for going forward. And you have to take an action step. You know, you have to overcome your fear and just say, I can do this. And, you know, belief in yourself. This is really where it all starts.
Mm-hmm. So belief in yourself and forgiveness of yourself, and it's hard to forgive others unless you begin by forgiving yourself. And so that's at least two bold actions that you've outlined there. And you've also mentioned in your book about how there is the Ten Commandments, and then there's the one golden rule as well. So what are some of the ways we can apply these Ten Commandments from the Bible and the overriding golden rule in order to be action takers, to take full responsibility for our adversity and to do something about it? What are some lessons we can learn?
Well, I think you start out with the first commandment, I am the Lord your God, and realize that we're all part of this universe. So if we're all part of God and God's creation, and we were given gifts that we could create, our thoughts create, then we have to love ourselves and respect ourselves and each other. So the first step is to, you know, look at each other as being holy. And so our engagements with one another have meaning and are kind. Then when we say, you know, have no other gods before me, it's really about recognizing material things don't matter, that we like the nice things, but they're all borrowed, and that we have to take stock of what we have and realize we have a lot of things we don't need. One of the things I do in the book is create commitments at the end of each chapter. So one of the commitments I make in terms of the second commandment is go through your belongings and see really what you bought thinking it would fill your soul that you no longer need, and get rid of it. I mean, these are action steps to anchor in certain principles. So, yeah, that's how I start. You talk about the 10th commandment, don't covet your neighbor's belongings. It's about envy. Live your own path. Don't worry about somebody else's path and compare yourself to them. You have your own journey, and it's beautiful. And when you get stuck looking at somebody else's journey as a basis for comparison, you get off track. So it's, you know, how do I stay rooted? What is it about someone else's path that I think is so great, you know, and say, wait a minute, how does that apply to me?
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing some emotional house cleaning, as it were, or even sometimes physical house cleaning, how the physical, tangible objects are sometimes symbolic of what's going on in our hearts and our minds and our souls, and to put those in appropriate places, you know, categorize them or get rid of them, as you say, just eliminate them. And to primacy, I love what you said there about look at others as holy. Look at others as holy, and that's an important thing. But I also want to ask about how you draw, and you using some, you know, biblical references in your book, of course, that's one thing, but how you draw on a sense of some power greater than yourself, or how people can draw on some power greater than themselves to to drive them or to give them the energy or give them the power to go through some life transformation or the difficult things that they do. Talk about a higher power.
Well, I believe that we're all energy, and our source is derived, whether you call it God, universe, source. We are connected to something bigger than ourselves. And when we give ourselves to that power, the energy refills itself. It's other people that drain our energy, but source is renewable. It feeds you. And when you believe that, you can do anything. And I know, didn't you ever hear that? Be careful what you wish for. Because I know when I have a thought and I wish for something and I put any action to it, it materializes. It's almost magic. And I say, wait a minute, there's something bigger here than I am. But I have to ask. You can't wait for by just praying. It's that old story about the person who's in a flood and they're on their roof waiting to be rescued. They pray to God to rescue them, and a boat comes by and they say, come on, hop in. And they say, no, I'm waiting for God to rescue me. And then a helicopter flies over and they drop the ladder and they say, climb up. And they say, no, I'm waiting for God to rescue me. And then they don't make it. They go up to heaven and they said, God, why didn't you rescue me? He said, I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. We have to see that the signs are there. We have to grab onto them and bring them into our life. That's source. That's God. That's the higher power aiding us along the way.
Yeah, I happen to love that you use that story. I happen to use that exact same story just a couple weeks ago in a sermon that I preached, and I think that's one of my favorite stories because it's about how we do have to take 100% responsibility for ourselves, but we can draw on a higher power, and that matters of the mind do make a difference. They do matter in terms of how they manifest themselves and what happens in our life. That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that story, but let's talk for a minute here about emotions and about relationships, Denise, about the power of relationships. Love is what I'm talking about, that love, where love gets thrown around a lot. And if you work in, you know, if you're working in family law and divorce matters, you know, matters of love get used as weapons oftentimes. But I'd like for you to unpack that a little bit. How can emotional connection with people we love or who love us or fuel us, power us in wanting to make the changes we need to make to go through these difficult times? Speak to that for a minute, if you will.
Well, love is the overriding principle. That is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would do unto yourself, but you have to love yourself first. But, you know, I've learned in the practice of law, the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. You know, hate is love with anger. Because you're hurt, you feel rejected. So, I mean, the emotional commitment of love is what draws us to one another. It's what makes us want to share and give and support us. You know, what you want in a relationship is to be able to have somebody else's back and they have yours. That's really, we hold each other up. The hand of God is, in the hand of the universe, is us holding each other up, and that's the love.
Yeah, that's holding each other up. That's a great way of showing that, because it goes through the mutuality, the covenant nature of love, and that's what I believe it helps fuel us or drive us and gives us motivation to make the changes we need to make when it's used well. And it can also, you know, when it's used, as you said, the opposite of love is not hate, because there's passion in both. But if we are living in a world of indifference, then, you know, it's just, I don't give a care kind of thing. I just give up. And so I love that image of holding each other up, because it has to do with you're motivated to do something not only for yourself, but for somebody else. I love that. Well, kind of following up along this, Denise, let's be a little bit more specific, whether it's in, say, a couple you're dealing with, or you're talking in your book about having a process of living out the Ten Commandments, living out the Golden Rule in order to come to a good place. What are some specific disciplines or habits or routines that either you use or that you've learned or you've helped others to learn to help them move through this process to apply them to their lives?
Well, first of all, I start my day every day with a prayer and a meditation. I mean, I anchor my day by giving thanks to everything, you know, to God, to universe, to for all the gifts in my life. I pray for healing for people that I sort of have my ever-growing healing list and the planet. I give thanks for all the gifts I've been given and ask that I, you know, continue to receive things so that I keep them flowing. It's not about me hoarding. It's about me being able to keep it moving, because the problem with our economy and our world is that people have built dams and they're hoarding instead of allowing it to flow, because we take more than we need or hoard. And, you know, that's stealing. That's a violation of the Ten Commandments. I give thanks. I go on to ask for love and bring love in my life and to emit love so that I serve as the beacon for other people. I pray for peace, and then I ask for joy, because at the end of the day, aren't we all trying to come into a place where we are enjoying our existence because we're living the life we were meant to live? And so that's how I start my day. And then I do depending how much time I have in the morning, I just try and anchor myself in silence and go within, because that makes me feel renewed when I start the day. And it also makes each day a new day. Okay. We're starting over today. If anything went bad yesterday, okay, we're going to start over today and start anew with a new perspective. So that's one of my routines, and I find it works. The other thing I do, every month when I pay my bills, it doesn't matter how much money it is, I send anonymous checks as charity as part of seeding the universe. It's my way of gratitude. And I just feel that there's something about that. They're anonymous. You know, you get the things in the mail, and it doesn't have to be a lot of money. I just feel that it's saying thank you. And so that's sort of something I do, that I feel that when I don't do it, I don't feel like I'm contributing to God. And you do your tithes in church or whatever, but this is just something that to me is like the magnificent obsession, throwing out stuff to the universe with no expectation of anything in return. Because those are things I do.
Yeah, that's great. That's a very tangible thing to do. You have your own personal routine, your morning process, your morning routine that you do helps you set the tone for your day that impacts you. But then when you write the check to some anonymous charity or whatever it is, that's doing something that also makes an impact on someone else, because there is always somebody on the other end who is opening up that check and getting that and going, wow, that's cool. That's cool. I know in my life, in my church, when we receive donations like that, occasionally somebody will put just a short thank you note, sometimes right on the check itself, you know, just thank you for what you do. And that's really awesome when that type of things happen, because I think there's a bit of instant karma here. I happened to hear the John Lennon song Instant Karma this morning. It's on my mind. I'm a Beatles fan. So just about that bit of karma that happens when we do something good for someone else, it comes back. And that's a big theme of your book, right? The Golden Rule.
Absolutely.
So say a little bit more about that, about the power of giving in terms of how it benefits us.
Well, I still believe that it's a universal truth. The more you give, the more you get. It's because it's about energy. And it just, you're putting out, we're all energy, and it's just the way it works. It's an exchange. And somehow when you're putting out, there's exponential benefits that we can't see, which is why we pray. And when you pray in numbers, it magnifies. You know, it doesn't have it just the effect of one is two is three, but it's exponential. And so this is what we're doing. It's sacred math, so to speak. And the Ten Commandments, the whole number 10 is sacred. So, you know, but it's really drilling through them, because they really all build on one another. They are the structure of the metaphysical world and how we relate to it as you go through the commandments. The first five are your relationship with source, with God, with yourself, with each other, with how we choose light over dark, how we don't take responsibility and don't blame others in the name of God or anyone, how we find we take an opportunity to rest, renew, to hold stock in our achievements. That's what the Sabbath is really all about. Disconnect, renew, and take inventory of the beauty of what's around us. And then, you know, honoring our parents is about honoring the gift of life, the balance in life that it takes two. It takes the masculine and feminine to come together. And we are all a combination of light and dark. We have to choose light, so we honor it. That's just the first five commandments and how you apply those in your day-to-day life. The second five commandments, the bottom half, are the mundane worldly existence. You know, you don't kill, you don't commit adultery, steal, lie, covet. But they're on so many levels. Killing isn't just about killing a person. It's about the words we say have consequences. We can kill other people's dreams, their spirit, just by how we relate to them. We have an obligation to not destroy somebody by the words that come out of our mouth or by the fact that we shoot them down when they have something that they want to do. That's just a perfect example of how to incorporate that commandment into your life. Look at what you do to create and make things better as opposed to destroy. Yeah. So those are things.
You just did something really amazing there. Denise, you went through all the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule, just almost ticked them off one at a time there, and that was great. And I was going to ask you a little bit about those individually, but you really went through the whole process there. And I would just commend to folks to look at the Ten Commandments again. Go to the Bible, Deuteronomy, and other places to look at those Ten Commandments. And if you need a place to find them, they're right there in your book. You list them right away in your book, the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. And it's good to revisit those as rules and guides for living to help us get through our difficult times and our adversities.
I try to put a modern story in them. Try to give examples of how they apply today and today's story as opposed to the Old Testament stories so that they become relevant again.
Well, it has to be applicable, and it's about implementing them in your life, and you have to implement it in the context of whatever going on in your life right now. But it is important that we do take them seriously and implement them. That's what you're sharing here in your book and your teaching, which I just commend to folks to check out. And another aspect that you talk about in your book, which I found interesting and fascinating, about how you talked about applying the metaphysical into our life and making it happen. And you mentioned about the Kabbalistic tree of life, which is something I've studied a little bit in my life, about how there's, you know, kind of a organic, if you will, nature to how we live our life. Say a little bit about the understanding of this kind of this mystical belief system, come from the Judaic background, how that works for folks, or how you would like to teach us how it works for folks.
Okay, well, Kabbalah itself was the ancient Jewish wisdom that explained the eternal laws of how spiritual energy moves through the cosmos. And it's depicted by this tree of life that looks sort of like a Jacob's ladder, and it has 10 spheres. Actually, 11. There's a hidden, which represents the knowledge, universal knowledge. But they each represent divine attributes of the world and the inhabitants of the world. So, for example, the top sphere represents the crown. The Hebrew word is kether. And to me, that is the first commandment. And there really is a correlation. As you go through the commandments like I did, if you go through the tree of life and through the attributes, you're going from the divine attributes to the kingdom of earth and how we live on that kingdom. And there's no accident, obviously. The tree of life and the Ten Commandments and the five books of Moses are all referred to as the tree of life in writings.
Awesome. Denise, I like to ask most of my guests a few questions about how things end up for you personally and how things process ends up for it can be applied to other people's lives. I like to say the pathway to promise is how we help people find their life of peace and prosperity and purpose. What brings you peace in your life, and how do you see peace manifested in other people's lives?
Oh, I think there's nothing more peaceful than when you're with family and you're watching children and seeing the world through the eyes of children. I mean, they're so pure, and that brings me such joy, and just wanting to make sure we have a world that these children will be able to grow up and survive in and teach their own children. I mean, that to me is what it's all about, the renewal. We're stewards of the planet for the next generation, and finding our path to how each of us, you know, does their part in making this world a better place while they're there.
Great. Denise, how do you define prosperity?
For me, if I were in a pup tap with my present husband, I'd be happy. So the question is, it's really finding what you really need, not what you want, and being comfortable with it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having more, having a bigger house or a nicer car, but does it add any level of joy to your life at the end of the day? Once you acquire it, does it make you feel better? It's what feeds your soul. That's prosperity, the things that make my soul feel good. It's when I help other people. It's when I, as you say, I problem solve. I get a person through a divorce, and we have an outcome that everybody feels that we made a win-win out of a lose-lose situation. Those are the things that, to me, make me feel that I'm here to do a purpose, and I'm doing it.
Great. Well, that leads me really to one of my final questions. That is, what do you feel is your purpose in life? You've unpacked that a little bit, but also how important is it for people to have a purpose and direction in life?
Well, I think that everybody's purpose is different. Somebody's maybe just to be a good mother, and that's beautiful, or maybe just to be a good provider. If they're happy with it and it feeds their soul, that's fine. Everybody's purpose is different. I know mine is here to spread a message to problem solve and make the world a better place by giving clarity and common sense and spirituality to people in a manner in which they can go, aha, this resonates with me. That's my purpose, to help us lead transition to the next higher incarnation of this planet.
Well, that's incredible. And a part of your purpose, your manifestation of your purpose, has been your book, which is The Power of Ten, Living the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule in Modern Times. Denise, what are you working on right now? And how can people be in touch with you if they want to learn more about what you're up to these days?
Well, DeniseAlexanderKyle.com is my website. So that will direct you to me. And my email address is from that site. And secondly, I'm working on, and still doing a little bit of law, but I'm also working on a couple books. One is a purely metaphysical journey that is a true story, but it shares a bunch of other stories that really show the magic of God and the universe. And that book, and then I'm working on a book that I really wanted for applying it to the politics of the world, how to make our politics in line with the principles of the Ten Commandments. And, you know, so that we can really start to get on the same page and communicate instead of being divided and conquered by those who have their own ego and greed purpose.
That's amazing. Do you have working titles for either one or both of those?
The one is The Journey of the Violet Flame Crystal. The other one is right now is just sort of commentaries, and I haven't come to a title with it.
Okay.
I also thought of writing a book, The Ten Commandments of Divorce, How to End Your Marriage Without Sacrificing Your Soul. Mm. That's another book that is really in me.
I think that would be speak to a lot of folks who need that direction. You know, a lot of people go through the pain of divorce, myself included, and having some direction and some commandments, as you will, would be a powerful tool, I believe. We do see that you have a lot to offer in this world, Denise, and we'll look forward to hearing more from you, from your books and from your teaching, your writing, your blog, and so on. And certainly we'll link to your book on our website and how people can get a hold of you. And we thank you for your time today, the author of The Power of Ten, Living the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule of Modern Times. Our guest today on Pathway to Promise has been Denise Alexander Pyle. Can you see how Denise Alexander Pyle describes herself as a problem solver and how she sees that as her calling in life? I think you really heard that in our conversation that we had here today. that she takes her role as an attorney, as the counselor part of being an attorney, very seriously. And she's able to listen to people and help process things. And now she's writing about how people can overcome their issues, their adversities, and to deal with their problems. And this, in the context of the book she has written, The Power of Ten, A Guide for Living the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule in Modern Times, she's applied the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule to our lives to help us get through some things. Just a few takeaways from our conversation here today is that she really emphasized communication and common sense and finding common ground in relationships. Particularly, she deals with couples going through divorce and family matters. She talked about having faith in yourself. And first, that begins first with forgiving yourself. When you forgive yourself, that gives you a building block to move forward on. And that respect of self is the building block, she says, of understanding your role in God's universe and respecting yourself as a holy thing to do. That is part of living your own path, your own God-given path in life, not someone else's path, but being rooted in the path that God has given you. She talks about how we need to connect with the renewable source of energy. That's our spiritual life. And that has, when we engage in a higher power through prayer, through meditation, through thinking about things higher than ourselves, we draw on a higher power in order to renew ourselves daily. When she talked about love, she talked about you have to love yourself first before you can really love others and have some resource and to share back with others. And then love is how we hold each other up and support one another. And how we anchor that love is also interconnected with prayer and meditation as well. To be thankful to what we have in our relationships and in our joy in our life. And to ask for joy from God. To ask for joy in others. And she talked about how she can live this out in practical matters. That she writes out checks, sometimes anonymous checks for charities that she just sends out. She talks about this area, about the golden rule basically. And the more you give, the more that you receive, because it's about an exchange of energy. The more energy you give, the more energy that you receive back. And that the Ten Commandments is really structured in a way to help us move beyond our physical world into metaphysical world. That is to move us to a godly place, to move us to a place that is closer to the holy. And it, what she's all about is trying to make the Ten Commandments and the great and the Golden Rule relatable and understandable. She talks about drawing on Jewish wisdom that we can impart to others, the Kabbalah, and that has to do with an understanding of what the metaphor and the image in the Bible and other places of the tree of life. That's a reference to about how we can move things, that everything's interconnected and interrelated, and it's all about life and life abundant. She likes to see things through the eyes of a children and how that's she sees peace in that part of her life when she sees life that way. And she finds prosperity is in understanding that when we have what we need and we're comfortable on an emotional level, what feeds our soul then helps us be content with whatever station we are in life. And that she has a purpose in life of helping people transition to the next highest incarnation in this planet. And that's part of what she's about now. She's still a practicing lawyer in the area of family law, and yet she's moving now more and more into the area of writing and being inspirational to people. And her book, I commend to you as a part of that inspirational life or inspirational teaching that she gives. The Power of Ten. It's actually, the title of the book is The Power of One, parentheses, Zero, close parentheses, which just means has to do Power of Ten, the Ten Commandments, and also the Power of One, the One Golden Rule. So the Power of One, or the Power of Ten, A Guide to Living the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule in Modern Times. Her name is Denise Alexander Pyle, and I commend her book to you. Our purpose here on the Pathway to Promise podcast is to be helpful to you, to use folks like Denise Alexander Pyle to be a guide in your life to help you move through times of adversity. We focus today a lot on divorce, for example, about how divorce impacts so many people, but you don't have to remain stuck and devastated by that experience. You can move through it. You can find a better place. You can recover from that. That is what I would call your promised life. God gives you a promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. You do not have to stay stuck and mired in a bad place, the malaise of mediocrity, I like to call it. You don't have to do that. I'm here to be helpful. People like Denise are here to be helpful. We have a whole bunch of people on our back catalog of podcasts, a blog post at pathwaypromise.com. Head on over there. There's some helpful resources for you there. We even have a free downloadable book called The 4-Minute Way to Frame Your Day for Success. It will help you start and end your day with a morning routine and an evening routine, which will help in your life. Go there and pick it up and be connected to our community here. Here at the Pathway to Promise podcast, where we are all about helping you overcome adversity to achieve your promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. My name is Dr. Brad Miller. I come to you to be helpful to you each week here in the Pathway to Promise podcast, where we are seeking to be helpful to you in your life. So until next time, this is Dr. Brad Miller encouraging you to keep your promises, because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your Pathway to Promise.